At a time when many of us feel the world isn't listening, Jess Phillips offers inspiration to those of us who want to speak out and make a difference. No stranger to speaking truth to power herself. She will help you dig deep and get organized, finding the courage and the tools that you need to take action. The book is called Truth to Power, 7 Ways to Call Time on BS. Delighted to be joining you, joining me on the line from the UK, Jess Phillips MP. Good morning to you, Jess.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. So, I was going to say, do you think this is the right time to release such a book?
I think that when I wrote it, I didn't know that there would be a sort of global pandemic, or we'd had the sort of Brexit debates in the UK, and there seemed to be a huge amount of. Lots and lots of people feeling much more politically activated, and lots of people wanting to know what they could do to change the world a little bit, but not really knowing how to do it. So I get emails every couple of days that say, I just really want to do something, but I just don't know how to do it. So I thought, well, I will write a book and say how I did it and how other people did it. Just ordinary people. The people I write about in the book are not all politicians or people who you would consider to have lots of power. They're often very, very ordinary people who are wronged by an institution or a government, and they just stand up. But yeah, I didn't realise that the global pandemic was coming and that we would all be sort of pulling together as a community, or that people would start to feel like they really wanted their voice heard in this period as well.
Do you think were you surprised, or do you think it's inevitable that people do feel like they're being sort of steamrolled over by corporations, stroke government, stroke big business, and there were abuses going on that they couldn't get out there in the open?
It's an age-old story, really, isn't it? The sort of David and Goliath story, where ordinary people, the whole labour movement, of which I am part, and the union movement across the world, is all about the idea that if people band together, that they can take on people with more power. So it is an age-old story, but I think that in an age of social media, there is opportunities for many more people's voices to be heard, but there is also much more opportunity for people to be stamped on and squashed and bullied. And so I think it is quite timely, because there's lots and lots of, there's the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, over histories, these things have been changed, massive laws, massive things have been changed to overthrow power just by ordinary people.
And I suppose this book is a way of doing it more effectively than just merely putting a post out there on social media. Because as you know, social media at the moment is a morass of this view, that view, fake news, 12-foot subterranean lizards called Nigel running the universe. I mean, it's all out there, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And some of the book actually is about the perils of trying to campaign on social media and some of the things that you need to do. I do think it's better. The way I've written it in the book is both seeking to inspire people by other people's stories, but also some really practical things. And one of the things that stops people speaking up to their boss or speaking up to the people who run their council or their country even, is that they think that they'll get backlash, they'll lose their jobs if people speak out. And so one of the things I go over in the book is how to handle the backlash, what to look out for, because there is always, inevitably, anybody who stands up and speaks and tries to shift the balance of power, There is backlash for everybody. However, what I've tried to put down in the book is how to handle that and how I handle it, and I face it every single day.
I mean, this is one of the things, isn't it? I mean, it's because unless you've been up there and put your head above the parapet, and I'm not saying it was harder, it was less shocking for people in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, but if the way that people can directly affect you via social media, you know, comments feature, you know, comments in the papers, yeah, feeds, you know, trolling, I mean, it is a 21st century phenomenon. And if you're not ready for it, and even if you are, some of the things that people say are deeply, deeply hurtful.
Absolutely. And it's constant. It's not like, you know, that in the olden days you'd have had some sort of slam piece in a newspaper, which, by the way, had to be usually, by and large, have some element of truth to it. Obviously, truth is no longer necessarily a requirement on social media. And I have had, I mean, I've had horrendous fake newspaper articles put about me having a low IQ because I'd apparently done this test. And that was put on a sort of fake BBC news page. I've had stuff saying that I supported terrorists. I've had all sorts of things from people who feel that I've, you know, got a little bit too much of a voice trying to silence me. And back, you know, in the 60s, I've been watching Mrs. America, which is about the women's rights movement in America in the 70s. There would have been something in a newspaper, but you wouldn't have had it in your hand when you were going to bed, whereas my phone is in my hand as I go to bed and as I wake up in the morning. So it is a big pressure for people who are campaigning to learn to switch off and to learn how to get the right support, and it's usually about building a team of people you can lean on.
Right. I mean, you talk about movements in the past 10 years or so and social media, but hashtag Me Too has been one of the most successful. And you speak to in the book to Zelda Perkins, who was the person who first called out Weinstein.
Absolutely. And when Zelda Perkins first called out Harvey Weinstein, this was 20 years ago, 20 years prior to the Me Too movement becoming a global phenomenon. And she was under 25, and she was working with him. I think it was at the Venice Film Festival, and she walked up to him and she took him on. Now, the level of courage that it must take a young junior member of staff to confront this giant of the industry that she had hoped and worked and worked so hard to work in, and in fact it was taken away from her for doing that, it just is, I find it phenomenally inspiring. But what Zelda would say, what she said to me when I interviewed her for the book, and I speak to her regularly, is she would say, you know, the work is not done, and while the Me Too movement definitely has had traction and has changed people's views, hearts and minds, there's still, you've got to keep your foot on the pedal, because power doesn't give itself away easily.
Also, you spoke with Paul Carunia Galizia, whose mother was tragically murdered. You know, was a bomb, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I mean, corruption going all the way to the highest level with this one, isn't it? And again, the personal bravery of these people.
Unbelievable. The story of Daphne, I suppose it could, some people felt that it might put a bit of a dampener on the book, because she spoke truth to power for many, many years. She faced legal action constantly. And in fact, it cost her her life. But the reality of her story in speaking to her sons, who continue her campaigning around government corruption, this is specifically was around Malta, but actually the stuff that Daphne Caruana Galizia, she exposed was global corruptions. He said that not speaking up and being silenced and being scared because of the things she was saying, that would have been a death of sorts, to be silenced by it. And we'd be no safer in the world if we allowed corruption to continue and bad people to carry on doing bad things. We're not safe just because we haven't spoken up. We're still living with a bad system.
You also speak with Natasha Elcock about, and she's the chair of Grenfell United, which is a pressure group. And this is a story that hopefully is still going to keep in the spotlight, because it would have been very easy for people to toe the official line, if you like, and just go, oh, it's a tragedy. But, you know, they are keeping up, or she is keeping up, the whole group is keeping up the pressure on this story to make sure that this never happens again.
Yeah, you know, the Grenfell Tower fire is not just a one-off tragedy. It speaks to an endemic problem of the sort of housing standards and safety the corners that can be cut in order for big companies or governments to save money or make money, cutting corners with safety precautions that could cost people their lives. And they are such, you know, for people who've been turfed out of their homes, most of them have lost dear loved ones, children, parents, partners, and they keep on campaigning for the sake of other people. They've all now been rehoused and are carrying on living their lives, but they don't want to see this happening to somebody else. But the reality is that these things are rarely a one-off.
Did you sort of find a common thread then to that links all these people together? Is it the refusal to take things at face value, or they've been affected and they've gone, hey, this isn't right, you know, we need to do something? I mean, it takes a certain amount of courage, and courage takes many forms, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, none of them would have described themselves, not a single case study in the book would have described themselves as brave or courageous before they took these things on. And that was a very common theme. But they were people who had something bad happen to them or somebody they loved. And that was just a moment of clarifying sort of certainty that they had to speak up. Usually, the common thing is that usually the thing that drives people not to carry on, even when it's difficult and hard and they're getting the backlash or they're losing their job, is that we've got to stop this happening to somebody else. That is almost always the common thread. But the thing that I found funny that they all said, every single person I interviewed said, was, oh God, I'm nothing special. Like, and to me, these people are amazing and inspirational, but they sort of laughed off the idea that they were anything different to anybody else and that anybody could do it. And I suppose that's the most important message of the book, is that when push comes to shove, human beings, we are magnificent creatures, and we can find courage within all of us.
And isn't that the thing, that the fact that, you know, we're always told, oh, there's no point, I can't affect, it's all big business, it's all run by, you know, people on the higher echelons, but actually your book goes to show that actually it does start with a single dissenting voice.
Absolutely. And the idea that I'm not going to vote because, oh, they're all the same, or I'm not going to stand up because, oh, nothing ever changes, I'm not going to complain because what's the point? That is the rhetoric that has been given to us by people with lots of power so that they can keep it. Every single time somebody utters one of those phrases that they couldn't possibly take something on, they are literally in some big corporate office somewhere, they're doing a Mexican wave, they're cheering that people think that, and we've been told to think that. But, you know, nothing in this world ever changed without somebody, and it's never very glamorous, I'm afraid to say. Often when they make miniseries out of it, like in Mrs. America, it seems like it's all glamour and parties and big exciting
great soundtrack in the background. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But in reality, it's usually you're in the back room of somebody's house stuffing envelopes. But in my experience, so if you're looking for the glamour, I can't promise that much of that, but there's a lot of envelope stuffing involved in changing the world.
I have to ask this question, and I want to use that. I'll use that quite later. A lot of envelope stuffing used in changing the world. I have to ask this question. I mean, you're not exactly haven't got a lot to do at the moment. So how on earth did you find the time to write this?
I mean, I wrote it over a year ago. So, lots of people relax by, I don't know, playing words with friends on their phone or watching the telly and things. And I genuinely am a bit of a workaholic. So I go on holiday with my girlfriends once a year, and I always take my laptop, and they are like, can you not just stop working for 5 minutes? So in my evenings and in the weekends and the occasional holiday that I take, that's when I tend to write. I write when I'm angry. I find it like it's cathartic.
Yeah, to get it out on a page, you mean? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can't not mention, but you're in the papers today as well, because you are the Shadow Minister for Domestic Violence, saying your remarks on the decision not to suspend the Tory whip or the whip from the Tory MP currently, you know, with rape allegations. I mean, you've already said this today, but, you know, I'd love to hear you say this again.
Yeah, look, you know, I believe in the premise of innocent until proven guilty. But I also, having worked with charities supporting children who've been abused and domestic violence victims and rape victims, I know that to safeguard people properly, that if an allegation such as this, and this person has been arrested and bailed, so it's serious. It's not like, you know, people will ring the police and make wild accusations about all sorts of members of parliament, and that happens a lot. It's happened to me. But, you know, this has a basis enough for the police to have arrested and bailed this individual. And in any other walk of life, certainly in public service, if this was a hospital, if this was a school, if this was a nursery, if a member of staff had been accused of something like that, they would be suspended pending further investigation. Now, I have two young women who work for me in Westminster. And so what is my duty of care to them? them I have to think of when they are walking the corridors of Westminster. Vulnerable women, children and men come and see me every single day as a Member of Parliament, and I speak to them every single day. And I just think that the Conservative Party making this decision undermines what is safeguarding law, and also what is right and just to try and encourage people to come forward, because they're essentially saying whatever to the allegations by not suspending. And I would say this if it was the Labour Party. I have said it in the past when it was about my political party, and the line in the sand that I have drawn by saying this means that my political party will always have to live by this standard, and that they are keen for me to be saying it. So this is not a political thing. This is about safeguarding. This is about sending a message that if we want people to come forward, we have to act in a proper and safe manner.
The book is called Truth to Power. It's by Jess Phillips. It's 7 ways to call time on BS. And I'm so glad you called it BS, because I wouldn't be able to say, I'd have to say that anyway on live radio. Also in the notes here, we've got The Times, who said there's nobody else at Westminster quite like Jess Phillips. She's fearless and funny, riotous and rebellious, maverick and mischievous. That must have raised a wry smile. And
yeah.
And also this one, I mean, J.K. Rowling says you're a heroine. That must be great.
I mean, it was unbelievable when it happened. She said it on Twitter, and it was not long after I'd been elected. And I just was like, oh, my gosh, my son is called Harry, although not necessarily after Harry Potter, but he loves Harry. And he loves Harry Potter. And I mean, my children now just think I'm just the queen of the world.
Enjoy it. It won't last. Have we heard of it? The book is called Truth of Power. I was going to say, if people want to find you, is there social media? But absolutely, they can find you. What's the official Twitter or social feed?
Just Jess Phillips.
Jess Phillips, super. The book is called
Jess Phillips.
The book is called Truth to Power. It's by Jess Phillips, MP. Jess, it's been absolutely superb to speak to you today.
Oh, thanks so much.